So, as Charlotte explained, transfiguration just really means to change. It's a big long word, but all it really means is to change. And Charlotte left us with a question just before the song. What was the question? Why did Jesus? So Jesus changed. But why did Jesus change? Shall we see if we can work it out together? Because it is a good question. Okay, so might need Charlotte and Rebecca here. Right, let's start at the beginning. Who can tell me who Jesus is? Who's Jesus? Ben's got an answer.
Come on then, Rebecca. Let's
go. Yep.
Let's go and answer, come on.
Quick. Who is Jesus?
God.
Jesus is God. Brilliant. Straight off there. Okay. Anything else we know about Jesus? Okay.
Jesus is the world.
Jesus is the world, yeah.
A man.
Jesus, yeah, we see Jesus came to earth as a man. Jesus was fully human. He was a man. Did Lily have one? No? Okay, so Jesus was a man, but Jesus is also God. Okay, that's quite a lot there. So, next question. How do we know all this? How do we know these things? Lily? Okay, shout it out.
From the Bible.
We know these things from the Bible. Brilliant. Now, if we think back sort of 2,000 years when the disciples were travelling and walking around with Jesus, did the disciples have the Bible? No. They had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the New Testament. And what does the New Testament tell us? Yeah? Shout it out.
All about Jesus.
All about Jesus and the beginning of the church and et cetera, et cetera. So, the disciples at the time did not have the New Testament. So they didn't have all of that lovely reading that we have to tell them about who Jesus was. They did, however, have Jesus there with them and they had lots of conversations with him. Because they travelled around together, they were ministering together, they knew Jesus was special. They'd seen him do healings, they'd seen the way he taught people. A few verses before today's reading, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Do you know what they answered? Who did the people at the time think Jesus was? There were two important people. Can anyone remember? I think I heard it, yeah. Elijah, yeah, and they didn't think he was the Son of God at this point, yeah?
Moses?
Maybe, but in the reading before, they thought Elijah and one other person was John the Baptist. And you see, the thing is, at the time,
God,
they didn't think he was God, not yet, that's the thing, that's the problem. So, they thought it might be John the Baptist, because there were no newspaper photos, there was no Facebook, no Instagram, so they'd heard of this John the Baptist, but they didn't actually know what he looked like. But they knew Jesus was quite special, someone special, but they didn't quite know who exactly. And they also thought he could have been Elijah, because if you remember in the Old Testament, Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind, but he was still alive. So they thought, actually, maybe Elijah's just come back down from heaven to us. Maybe he's a prophet. So, then Jesus asked the disciples, well, that's who they think I am. Who do you say that I am? Who do you think that I am? And one of his disciples, Peter, actually stepped out. And Peter answered, the Messiah of God. Ah, we think. That's good. Maybe even without the New Testament, they understood who Jesus really was. Maybe they got it. Do you think they did? Not quite. Not quite. You see, we have to remember that they were Jewish and they thought that God was going to send a Messiah. But they thought this Messiah would be like a king on earth. He would be anointed and he would come and save them from their enemies. And their enemies at the time were like the Romans. So they thought, yes, this king's going to come and he's going to save us from the Romans and he's going to set up a new kingdom here on earth and all will be well. But they didn't understand that Jesus was more than that. They didn't understand that Jesus would go on to die and that he would help all of us to have a spiritual salvation so that the spirit inside of all of us could have be free from hurt. So it's not just freedom from people like the Romans, but freedom from our own guilt and our own sin. And I guess really that at this point, they had only seen half of who Jesus was. It's a bit like they saw the caterpillar, but not the butterfly. Or they saw the bulb, but not the daffodil. They didn't see the whole of Jesus. So that day, the day of the Transfiguration, when they went up to the mountain, they saw what was inside Jesus. They saw who Jesus really was shining through. They saw a glimpse of Jesus in glory. He was shining bright white. And they also saw Moses, who in the Old Testament gave the law to the people of Israel, and Elijah, who we talked about, who was an amazing prophet. And God even spoke and said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." See, now, for the first time, the disciples that were with him could see the whole picture. They could see that Jesus was the Messiah they had been waiting for, but that he was not just a chosen king to rule on earth. He was so much more than that. He was, like Ben said, he was God. He was the Son of God. He was God. What an incredible moment that must have been. How do you think you would have felt? How would you have felt if you were up there on that top of that mountain at that minute? What do you think, Lily?
Surprised,
definitely surprised. How else might you have felt? Amazed?
How do you think we would have felt if we saw Jesus?
What do you think? If we saw Jesus in glory. What do you think, Rebecca?
Happy.
Happy, yeah. You might have felt a mixture of things. Amazed. Yes, Beth?
Frightened.
Yeah, actually, probably a bit frightened. Yes, Lily?
Glorified.
It's got some lovely words here. So lots of things we would have felt. But I think overall, you know, we would have felt pretty happy and close to God. How could you not have felt close to God? And we know that soon after this event, Jesus went on to die for all that we'd done wrong and ever would do wrong. And he did that so that we can be forgiven and that we can look to God the Father and that we can be close to him. And I guess that we all have moments when we feel that we are on top of the mountain. Times when we might feel really close to God. Times when we even see or feel within us glimpses of God's glory. Maybe this might come through sometimes in prayer, or maybe when we worship, when we sing our praises to God, or maybe when we're reading the Bible and suddenly we just feel the Spirit inside of us working and we just suddenly think, I never looked at it like that before. Wow! I've read this passage, I've read this story hundreds of times from when I was tiny, but I never saw it from that perspective before. And we might feel particularly close to God then. And children, I know when you go out to your Blaze groups and to your Illuminate groups and to Sunbeams, there might be times when you think, actually, that makes sense. And you feel that little bit closer to God. Maybe when you're walking around in nature, taking in the amazing sights and sounds, or just being around other people. And we just see God's love in them and through everything that he's made for us. And we feel that closeness with God. And these moments of closeness with God are really important because sometimes when life can be harder, we can feel perhaps like we're at the bottom of the mountain. And when we feel like we're at the bottom of the mountain, we can draw on these times of closeness with God at the top of the mountain. And these times of closeness with God can take us through those times. and they can strengthen us. They strengthen our spirits. But not only that, times of closeness with God change us. No doubt the disciples were changed by their experience. Jesus was changed. And those times of closeness with God change us. And it might be that they change us suddenly and quite dramatically. Or it might be that just little by little, we are changed. And because these moments change us, they help us, as Marianne said earlier, to go out and to look at the world differently. And to look at those people around us differently. And these times of closeness with God build us up for all that we are called to do in God's world. And they build us up so that when we go out into the world for all of those things we do, when we're doing those things that Marianne mentioned maybe, or just going about our day-to-day lives, they build us up so that we too can shine and share the glory of God wherever we go to everyone we meet. So, shall we pray? Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to us, and we thank you that through him we can be glorified and we can change. And we pray, Lord, that as we change little by little, we become more like him and we walk in his footsteps, Lord, and we draw closer and closer to you, so that all that we can do can be a blessing to others and can glorify your name. Amen.